I want to talk to you just a few minutes and want to mention some things. And when I do, I want you to keep your minds out of the gutters now. I know a lot of people put their mind right down in the gutter when you go to mention some things that you have to cry out against. But I want you to keep your mind out of the gutter and try to listen just a little bit to what we say. Sometimes it's necessary for preachers to say things and to do things to be able to not to fight, in the sense that the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. Yet the Bible said it's mighty through the pulling down of stronghold, casting down of imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's our warfare. That's our weapon. That's our power. But we have to fight back, because there is a continual warfare between the natural man and the spiritual man. And then people out yonder are natural, and they are aggressive in what they are trying to do, and that is stamp out the truth and the things of God. And there is many people that, as we say, are in between. They don't know which way to go. Satan has possessed hundreds of thousands of people out there, and he's got control of them, and he's aimed them toward the church, to stamp out the church. While as of yet Christ, living in the hearts of his people, are fighting back, and a lot of the innocents are caught in between. They don't really know one way or another. And we have to voice a strong word of opinion as a minister a lot of times to forcibly impress the minds of the listeners out there that have to judge the situation, so as to swing their opinions in the right direction. If we sit idly by and do nothing, then the world doesn't have a testimony. It's like Jesus. It wasn't his joy nor delight to turn over the tables, to pop the whip in the house of God, but there had to be a testimony. And for testimony's sake, he did it. It wasn't his delight to call them a generation of vipers, uncircumcised in heart, referred to them as devils. When he said, "That's Peter, get thee behind me, Satan," and call them a generation of vipers, that wasn't his pleasure nor his delight, but it was necessary. He had to do it. John, the others, it was necessary for them to do it. It wasn't Paul's delight to call them a bunch of slow bellies, but that was the only way that he had of letting them know that he understood their condition. He called them the abased kind. So then we see that it's necessary for us to cry out against evil and to say things a lot of times that we wouldn't want to say. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he hath warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul." So then it is the minister's job to deliver his soul by warning the people. And if you notice here, a lot of times we don't like to accept the idea that God will lead us into temptation. Yet he tells us to pray, "Father, lead us not into temptation." We like to feel that God's our friend, God's our help, and that we can just do any way we want to, and abuse and hurt, tear down, speak against, do anything that we want to, but God's still our friend and God's our helper. But I want you to know tonight that God is not your friend and God is not your helper when you do wickedly. And it is God that made the statement, "Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." And it is also God that makes the statement right here. He said, If I lay a stumbling block before him, that he shall die. It is God that when he looks down and sees somebody that's just going to be contrary to all that's right, that God will throw the stumbling block out before the wicked, and over he goes and he dies. And God cuts him off. So see, it is God that creates the good. God creates the evil. God has his way in both. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. So what we need to realize is that we are dealing not with mankind, but we're dealing with God. And that just as long as we try to do what's right, then God is going to be in our behalf and God's going to be in our favor. And that if we do what is right, God's going to help us. It doesn't matter how many times we stumble. It doesn't matter how many times we err. I might err many times down through my lifetime. I might stumble many times. But it doesn't make any difference how many times that you stumble or how many times you err. You are not considered a wicked person. As long as you are doing your very best, your very diligence to try to be holy, to be clean, to be in pure in heart, to be upright, then God does not count you a wicked person, nor does God withdraw his love and kindness from you. But listen, the very moment that you decide that God is like you when you do wicked and when you do evil, and you decide that no matter what you do, that you look so good or you're so important or you hold such a position in God that he can't do without you, when you get to that place to where you feel that you can just do anyway, cut corners and say things and think things and get by with it, brother, that is being a wicked man. That is being a wicked woman, sister. And when you do that, then God is on your trail from then on. God will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. Because God does not have any special people. God does not have any respect of person. It doesn't matter from the president, the king, on down to the little child. God does not have any special people. When a man does evil, God will cut him off. He may be a preacher, he may be a prophet, he may be a great man, he may be a small man, no matter what it is. God hath no respect to person. God expects you to live right. He expects me to live right. He expects the president to live right. He expects the kings and queens of the earth to live right. Their position has nothing to do with it. He expects them to live right. He tells me to pray for those that are in leadership. Pray for the senators, the sheriffs, the rulers, those that are in power. Pray for them. And I do pray for them. I trust that you pray for them. See, God has but one policy. And he said, what I say to one, I say to all. What I say to Brother Jameson, I say to Brother Pike. What I say to the Church of Bethlehem, I say to the dignitaries of Washington. I say the same thing to the Parliament of England and to the rulers of Russia. Whatever I say all to one to all. That's my policy. All right, now, God tells us that there is but one spirit, and that is the spirit of holiness. One spirit. If God says there's but one spirit, and that's God's spirit, his spirit, and that is the spirit of holiness, then God says that to little Bethlehem. God says that to the Baptist church. God says that to the Methodist church. God says that to the Catholic church. Now they might not accept it and we might not accept it, but God still says it. It's still the same policy. All right, so then he tells us to be holy in body and in spirit. Not just holy in spirit, but holy in body also. That we are to make our deeds conform to God's way. That we are to think as God. And that we are spiritual people to judge spiritual situations. See, God has chosen the saints that they should judge the world. How have you realized that? God did not choose Washington, nor the Parliament of England, nor the powers of Russia, nor Germany, nor any other power of the world to judge the situation. I know they do judge the situation, but God didn't call them for that. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" We are the ones that's called to judge the world. That's why it disturbs me so often when they talk about looking into the cults. I'm not against people looking into the cults. Let them look into the cults all they want to. The cults ought to be stopped if it's an evil cult. But I do say one thing, that a natural-minded, degraded, fornicating person doesn't have any power of reasoning to where they can judge any matter as pertaining to religion. How do they know what a cult is? When a person's taken in sin and the fornicator cheating on their wife and breaking the marriage vows of their wives and going out in the world and money-hungry people talking about judging the church. They talk about the Jim Jones situation. Seems like it's everywhere. Now, they brought me a book by today, Brother Dennis from out of Indiana. He wanted me to read it. I opened it up and just saw a little bit of it. It was so filthy, I tore the thing up and threw it in the garbage can. In the upper ranks, in the political ranks, and in the powers of the dignitaries out there in the world, they're talking about judging the cults, having an inspection, going through the churches, piffling around in that which they've got no business messing with whatsoever. Whereas we don't have anything to hide here at little Bethlehem, they've already piffled through everything we've got. They haven't found anything. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. But God doesn't want them putting their hands on His vessels. Let me tell you something. They'll go through God's people. God will suffer them to do that. Now you watch what I'm telling you. God will suffer the world to go through His vessels and to look through His religious moves, so that He can prove to them that there is nothing wrong with His people. And then, brothers and sisters, when they get through judging us and going through us, the Bible said judgment shall begin at the house of God. Then when they prove to themselves that we are clean and holy people, then God's going to pick them up by the collar, so to speak, and set them before the judgments of God, and He's going to rend them to pieces. Because they can't pass the judgment like we can. We can pass their judgment, but they can't pass our judgment. And God's going to raise us up, and they're going to have to pass our judgment then. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" God's going to suffer that to come. But I say this, they don't have any right of judging or bothering us to begin with. It's a violation of the Constitution of the United States for them to do it, because our Constitution speaks of separation of church and state. It's a violation of the political rights of the people. But God's going to suffer it anyway. And then again I say that they don't have any right to mess with the church, or to determine, or to try to decide what is a cult and what is not a cult. Because they are not right with God. They are not religious authorities. Why call us a cult? Why not turn the guns on the White House? It was the president's wife that wrote the letters down there, and the authorities from the White House that gave Jim Jones his right and put him on TV and stood behind him down there. They were the ones that the paper stated that made way for him to carry on their filth. That's where they ought to look for the cults. They're the ones up there that's carrying on the evil and robbing the people. They don't care for humanity. It's not God's ministry. It's not God's people. God's people are not trying to hide anything. Now I know this sounds a little strong, but it takes a bunch of devils
to even associate the church with the rotten evils of Jim Jones' operation. Only a bunch of devils will do that to start with. Now, I believe this from my heart. I made the statement before they ever uncovered the situation of Jim Jones. I said the thing down there is a cesspool of iniquity, of nothing but sex and passion. And I said when they get behind it, that's what they're going to find that it is. And the book today was filled with the filth and with the dirt. Even to where his own wife said that he wasn't straight to begin with. Said he never had been straight. It had been a religious sham all the time. Now you say, what was it? It was the same thing that Mr. Presley was. But see, Mr. Presley wasn't associated with religion. So that the world couldn't jump on the church without hurting their own cause. If they had showed him up for what he was, then it would have hurt their cause. But because Jim Jones was associated with religion, that gave him a chance to shoot at God's people. I dare say that Elvis Presley molested more women, young girls alike, probably 10 times over to what Jim Jones did. And the book recorded that it was horrible, the things that he and his followers did. Not only that, but feeling sorry for a lot of the people that were slaughtered down there, the reason God suffered some of them to be killed is because a lot of them was a bunch of lesbians. That's what they were, and homosexuals. That's what they were. And I know a lot of good people got caught in it. But you tell me that people's got to follow that mess, why did they get out of it? Now somebody would say, well, what's a helpless bunch of Christian people going to do with a man lording over them? Them wasn't helpless Christian people. Them people, if they stooped that low, they could have murdered him, split his throat. They finally killed him anyway. There wasn't nothing religious about them, nor godly about them. It wouldn't have been nothing for them to kill their leader. So then, feeling sorry for many of them, the only sorrow I have in my heart is the fact that many of them missed salvation and missed the truth of God's word. But many of them went there because they knew it was a cesspool of iniquity. Devils and demons to where they could get together and practice their evil. The only thing about it is, as I said, because that had a religious texture about it, it gave them a chance to try to tear down the church. Whereas their own president, Mr. Kennedy, who left his diary, left a string of names. I believe it was hundreds of names, maybe. Or a tremendous amount of names of women that he had molested, being the president. That's some more of the cults. Why didn't they inspect the cults? They didn't have to. When God got tired of it, he let him get his brains blowed out. Just like Jim Jones, they didn't inspect that. But when God got tired of it, he let him blow his brains out. They didn't inspect it. They didn't go down there and do anything about it. They just let it continue on year after year, and then strengthen it by giving letters out of Washington in different places for them to carry on their evil. But what it is, it's the closing of the door to the Gentile church. The time is at hand. God's going to let the boycott come. Let them close it on the church. And the vision I saw where the Spirit of God lifted from the earth, and everything turned into powder, and everything was drab, and everything was dry, and there was no more hope. That thing is coming around. That thing is coming around. God has allowed the things such as Jim Jones and different things of that nature to come about to where they will close in on the church. And then once they stamp the church out, once they put their ugly foot upon it, and they stamp the church out and mess with God's vessels, God's going to burn this whole world with fire. He's going to go into an angry rage, as we would say, and he's going to shake this world till it breaks up like an egg being crushed in a madman's hand. And the Bible said that when God's anger is released, it'll be so bad that the stars will fall out of the heavens, that he'll shake this world till the very stars will fall out of their sockets. And said these men that's doing the evils that they're doing, they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And they'll throw their monies to the bats. There's one thing for sure. A bunch of natural people, as I said, that's possessed with devils. I have investigators that have come here to investigate me and the church that are nothing more than men filled with the devil, possessed of the devil. They've come into this sanctuary or into these offices and sat up here and cursed as they tried to converse with me. But God just helped me before they got here to set up a little recorder to get their evil, filthy mouths and their cursing. Because it is, again, a violation of the Constitution of the United States to interrupt a sacred service or to come into a place like this with profanity. And when they found out that I had it on tape, they shut their mouths and went on their way. How can a bunch of filthy people come among decent people and tell them what they are and what they should do? You know what it is? They're the Jim Jones bunch. They're the bunch of lesbians. They're the bunch of devils. They're the bunch of homosexuals. And the same devils that was in those people down there in Jonestown, when those bodies was killed and mutilated, those demons came out and they went to places like Washington, throughout the United States, and into those people that don't have God. And they figured they'd done a good job of making a mess down there and reproaching everything decent. And they'd get in some of the authorities and cause them to get all riled up and make another mess by oppressing the church and getting rid of the church so that they can all be a bunch of lesbians and sodomites. That's exactly where they're headed. The Bible said they'd be a bunch of lesbians and a bunch of sexual maniacs and a bunch of sodomites. I made the statement the other night, even in Atlanta, Georgia. They're having affairs with one another out on the streets and before their offices and in the parks. And are half nude, according to the papers. And the law says that they passed a law against it, but they can't do nothing about it. And I say this again. When a bunch of people throughout the world takes the idea that women can run around half nude in shorts and bathing suits, and little girls can start out from grade school in that kind of condition and still have decency, they must be out of their minds. Anybody knows better than that. They say, well, you're just old-fashioned. I'll tell you one thing. When grandmother and granddaddy and mom and dad wore clothes that was decent, we didn't have that kind of filth. When there was no news medias to play it up and make it big and broad to where everybody could feed off of it like a bunch of slop hogs, we didn't have that problem. What is the law doing about it? Magazines all over the world carrying it. Playboy magazines, and they say they're Christians. A bunch of charismatic renegades that call themselves Christians that don't even know God. All over the world, that's what it is. God's fixing to burn the whole mess. You say, but Brother Pike, look what those great Christian people are doing. I don't know of anything they're doing except making a mess. You say, but there are great satellites going all over the world, Brother Pike. Jesus said, you can pass land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell after you meet with him than he was before you ever met him. You know what they're doing? They're pulling millions of dollars through telethons and everything else. Pulling it for what reason? To get another TV station. To get out of the foreign countries. For what purpose? To make a proselyte. To tell him that he's a Christian because he believes there's a God. Because he believes is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They just believe there is a God. They're just as well off if they believe that the totem pole was God. They're better off. God had more mercy on them. The minute they come to believe that there is a God and they don't live for God, then God has to destroy them. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you do like the Lord Jesus Christ. You conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to get up and have 10,000 people come up and confess Christ and that they say, I believe that Christ is my Savior, that don't mean nothing. All they did was lie. Christ isn't their Savior. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins. God is his Savior. And the Bible said you can't call him Christ a Lord without the Holy Ghost. That means you've got to have the Spirit of holiness before he can be your Lord. How can you say he's my Savior? You've got to have the Holy Spirit to even call him your Savior. And brothers, if you've got the Holy Spirit, the Bible said he will guide you into all truth and righteousness. All of it. Now, you say, what is that? The Bible said putting away the filth of the flesh. The filth of the flesh. What was the last sin? Paul said in the last days, what would be the sin? The sin of the last days, the love of the world. He said that they would turn man with man, woman with woman, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that just recompense of reward because of their evil. They did not love the truth. They wouldn't believe the truth. They wouldn't listen to the truth. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. Said, I caused them to have strong delusions. I caused them to do it. To believe a lie and to be damned. To be a bunch of religious lesbians and sodomites and sexual maniacs. Money hungry, pleasure loving, worldly people. That's what it is. And what is it all about? It's like I said the other night when I spoke about the beast coming up out of the water. And I spoke about the three major parts of the constitution of that beast, being the bare feet, being the leopard body, and being the lion head. And I made the statement, I said it'll be the old Roman Empire, the Babylonian thing that goes back to the lion head that was showed to Daniel in the vision as a lion. And I said it'll be that old Grecian Alexander the Great thing, that thing of sports, the leopard, the swift one. The running, the jumping, the hollering, the old leopard, the athlete thing. I said, that will be the body of it. That's what they'll do. They'll love sports. And they do. And I said, the feet of it will be a communistic government, the bear, Russian power. That's what it is. Every bit of that was shown back there in the Babylonian government, the Medo-Persian government, and in the Grecian government. I said, that's what it'll be. It'll be a constitution of that kind of people. A bunch of religious proselytes that don't care nothing about God but love sports. And that'll have a communistic government that will relieve them of real responsibility. And that they won't have any bills or debts. Free medical, whatever. Sell their soul for it. It's going to be a good thing for you as far as the world's concerned. It's going to be a good thing. You'll run after it. It'll solve all your problems. That Antichrist will make it heaven to you. It'll be the thing you've longed for. That's the way it'll be. Now, look at this for just a few minutes. Every nation is represented by some animal. Isn't that right? One way or another. And look at Russia, represented by bear. Some kind of reptile, some kind of fowl, some kind of animal. Look at China, represented by dragon. Look at America, represented by an eagle because she's a religious nation. All of that has definite meanings. That's why God, when he showed Daniel the visions like he did, of the bear, of the lion, of the leopard, that's why he was able to show Daniel that. Because it's the beast coming up out of the waters. He likens the people to waters, and out of the midst of them comes that body, that beastly body. Out of the midst of the people comes that beastly body. Not all of them, because some of them are righteous people. But out of the midst of them comes that evil, wretched, beastly body. And folks, let me tell you something. The Bible said that they will kill us and think that they do God a service. Did you know that? You know what they think about us? It's just like Goldwater or whoever it was, one of them, all talking about this plan of exiling the people of God over yonder somewhere in Alaska on a mental health act to try to prove that they're demented because they want to stand for godliness, stand for holiness. Real, true, godly living has gotten so far out of the human reasoning until they count it a mental thing. They say you're demented when you're like that. That you're an oddball. The religious world has so accepted the thing that God has cursed and rejected. They have so accepted it. The religious world. Sports and all of those kind of things. From pool tables to I don't know what. The religious world has accepted that. That God has rejected. And they've accepted it in such a measure. Until the true godly people are looked on as being fanatics. But you know what? They can count me a mental case, or they can count me a fanatic, they can count me whatever they want to, but there's one thing about it. I still got this book that goes along with me. That's one good thing. I got an absolute and a sure foundation. I'm in agreement with this book, and this book is in agreement with me. There might be 10 million people that disagree with me, but the book agrees with me. That makes it right. And someday, yonder in the judgment hall of God, I'll stand and judge them, and everyone that stands for God will stand there and judge them, and God will turn him into a lake of fire because of their evils and what they've done. I still say this, anybody that would even dare associate God and holiness and righteousness with the Jim Jones mess, I'd have to be a bunch of devils. There'd have to be a bunch of devils. And you know, you might say, Brother Pike, but they don't understand. You can't tell me that out of the many multiplied years that evangelists like Billy Graham and Old Roberts and other hundreds of evangelists across the nation, that out of many years of them preaching on TV and radio and publications of paper, telling them about Jesus and the love of God and the way of God to that extent, whether for contention or otherwise, Paul said the gospel's preached, whatever their motive. You can't tell me that those people are ignorant and don't know the difference between a Jim Jones episode and what is God. Even the man that founded this country, Washington, I read the vision. Were the man that wrote the vision or related it, made the statement, said Washington not only resorted to the thickets many times to pray when he'd separate himself momentarily from his men, but was known to go away in secret and talk with God and plead with God to give him the right understanding that he might guide his nation. Great, mighty men of God, people like that. But the world reminds me of the very situation that they were in. The story related concerning Valley Forge, that when the snow was piled up and Washington and his men were cut off, having no help, while Washington called on God, crying, many times, they said, tears streamed down his cheeks as he prayed and begged God for mercy for his men. Snow piled up. Now listen. But while those soldiers starved to death over in New Jersey, which is just a little ways away, the book or history states that many hundreds of pounds of meat was spoiling, rotting. It stated that it rottened. Something that would have saved the lives of those that was cut off. But they didn't have any means of communication or transportation to get it to them. Along the Susquehanna River, thousands of barrels of flour were spoiled while those men starved to death. You know, that reminds me of the world today. We've got plenty of spiritual food for them. And they're out there starving to death. But we can't get to them. Even in the missionary fields. Because of the great breach of the ecclesiastical powers. And the evil demon powers of devil rulers. That are out there in the government and different places of the world. That middle wall of partition, that barrier. Out there that's got us cut off. Because of them, we can't get to the starving people that needs help out there. While people are praying and tears are streaming down their cheeks for their loved ones. But God's going to bring it to an end one of these days. Washington finally got over the river. Finally got over the Delaware. Watching a little spider. About the third time. He saw it succeeded and he took courage and realized God was speaking to him through a little foolish thing. And he went over and got the victory. And someday that iron curtain of resistance and all of the evil powers of the carnal mind is going to be broke down. And God's going to plow through and he's going to get his people. He's going to get his people. He might have to turn Egypt into a rubbish heap, a garbage dump like he did in the days of Moses. And he might have to pour out the balls and the cancer and the heart trouble and everything else on them. But he's going to bring his people out of that bondage. You watch and see. The ecclesiastical powers of Antichrist, the carnal mind, the gross darkness, intellectual reasoning, schooling, all these things is contrary to the Bible. Science fiction, all of those evil things that's got the people in bondage, God's going to tear it down one of these days. He's going to bring his people out of it. There's one thing we need to do, folks, and that is we need to pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. We need to pray. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. And we need to get together and do something for God. Do something for God, because time is running out. And some of you still haven't done anything for Christ Jesus. You haven't made any efforts or any sacrifice. But you need to get together. You need to either get in this thing or get out of this thing. Because I'll tell you one thing. If you stay in it, you're sure going to have plenty of trouble. Now you remember that. Because the world's going to be on your trail. You ain't going to have no trouble with God, but with the devil. It's like Ron said today. I said, have you been doing all right? He said, I've been fighting the devil. I said, well, there's one thing for sure. If you've been fighting him, he knows you ain't on his side.
Amen. Praise God.
Now there's no war going on. Then you better start worrying, because everything's not right with you. But if you're having war with him, you don't have to worry, because you know that something's crossed up between you and him. But I believe with all my heart that we're down at the end. And I say this reverently, sacredly, and holy, as clean as I know how. What Jim Jones done other than killing the people and hiding it under the guise of religion, which is the lowest thing a man can do. Other than that, Elvis Presley done 10 times 10 that. He defiled more, tore down more decency, and turned the whole world into a cesspool of iniquity with his filth called rock and roll. And Kennedy and many others that are in the same condition. Earl Flynn, one of the old movie stars, was known to be a maniac. For that kind of thing. Thousands of them. But see, the papers doesn't say much about that. You know why the papers doesn't? Because usually the editor and the owners and the stockholders are usually just as low down and degraded as the ones they're writing about. And the demons that possess them don't want to speak against that which is the world, for the world loveth its own. But it wants to pounce on the Christian people. But you know, if you love God, you don't have to worry. Those people have molested one another. But I can truthfully say, not one time in my entire marriage have I ever broken my marriage vows with my wife. Never to turn to that source. Never. And unless my wife has lied to me, she has the same testimony. And I believe her. So I don't have to hide behind a filthy thing like Jim Jones. I don't have to run off somewhere and hide and worry about teaching my people to commit suicide to cover up a dirty, low-down past. I believe in being holy, and I believe in being clean, and I believe in being pure. I believe in being upright, and I believe that you can and should be. And if some of them out there would get rid of the devils and demons they got, they wouldn't have to write a bunch of lies about the true and upright in heart. One of these days there's going to be another program that's going to be going on. And it's going to be an inspection program. And it's going to be one that's going to go in among the cults. And it's going to be one that's going to find out who's who. Like I said, and it's going to be the saints of God. And when they get through, they're going to turn all the rubbish into hell. All of it into hell. They're going to clean the house. They're going to turn over the money tables. And they're going to pop the whips, and they're going to drive the beast out. And they're going to turn the wicked into hell, and they're going to start all over. And the Bible said they're going to tread the ashes of the wicked under their feet. It's coming. All right. It's a sad thing. I can't even relate to you tonight. The dirty, low-down, filthy things that Jim Jones and his followers did. And as I said, some of them was innocent, some of them wasn't innocent. Some of them was head over heels in it with him. But the low-down, filthy things is so degraded that I wouldn't even want to say them among the people. But you can be sure of one thing. God still has something that's clean and holy. Clean and holy. But it's not in Washington. And it's not in the Parliament of England. And it's not in the ruling powers of Russia. Nor China, nor Germany, nor anywhere else. It's in the heart of every true believer. The pure in heart shall see God. And that's all that shall see God. All the rest shall be rejected. For God is a transformating power that will bring us into His kingdom by faith. By divine transformation, with the revealing of that sacred light from heaven that we spake about the other night. I want you to stand with me. Maybe this sounds a little crude to you. Maybe it don't fit your thinking. Maybe it isn't right. But nevertheless, that's the way it is, and that's the way I believe it. I say this, if those people out there want to come and inspect the church, and they want to check and find out whether or not the religious people are right, then I say the first thing for them to do is get saved, get cleaned up, get their hearts right with God, get pure,
right,
obey and honor the Word of God, then come out here and tell us what we need to do. And I'll be ready to listen. But until they line up with the Word of God and they obey the Word of God, then they don't need to be calling us a cult, because they don't know what the Word of God is. And they don't know what it says. So they don't know the difference between the cult and the Word of God. Anything that agrees with the Word of God is not a cult. In their estimation, if you don't belong to some denomination, some religious sect of the world that they've approved, then you're a cult. But according to the Bible and according to God, the only people that are God people are people that are in harmony with the Word of God. And every person that's not in harmony with the Word of God, whether they are a religious denomination or whether they are a great big religious body or whatever they might be, they are a cult and they're on their way to hell. Let's sing a little chorus together. The last days they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you can tell them, because they don't agree with the Word of God. Paul said, Timothy, preach the Word. Reprove, exhort, with all long-suffering, with all doctrine. And that's what I intend to do. I intend to follow the Word of the Lord and do what He tells me to do. Let's sing that little chorus, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others
thou art calling. Oh, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing it again? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Don't you love Jesus? Can you just bow your heads for a minute, close your eyes, lift your hands to heaven? Folks, God loves you. God wants to do something for you. You're great people. People who love Jesus are great people. Not everyone that saith the Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And if you can obey God from your heart, Paul said, that form of doctrine which was delivered you, you've obeyed from your heart. From henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness that's laid up for you, and every one of you that obey God, he said, could have that crown of righteousness. You don't have to worry. The righteous is as bold as a lion. You don't have to worry. You love Jesus. And the Bible said you're clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. God has you, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We're nearing the end time, nearing the crossing. It's not far to go. Just check your heart. Make sure that you've sold out to God. Make sure there's no reservation of heart. And make sure that you want to do the right thing with all of your heart. And make sure you try. And God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. He'll put His Spirit in your heart. But don't try to overcome without Christ. Don't try to live it without the Spirit of God. Don't try to make it through without God's Spirit, without communicating with God, because you'll never do it. Psychological reasoning will never do it. It's going to take strength from God every day. Every day you're going to have to be able to communicate with Him to get a new start, a new strength every day. You've got to have His Spirit there every day to where you can turn to Him and talk to Him, pray to Him, or your thoughts are going to run away with you. And you're going to think unholy things, and you're going to think unclean things, and you're going to give place to those evil thoughts that come to your mind and to your heart. And you're not going to be pure in heart, and you're not going to see God. And you're not going to make that translation. But if you'll keep His Spirit in your heart, keep your mind on Him, meditate in His laws day and night, God will make you pure in heart. And you'll see Him. God's a spiritual revelation. God is a Spirit. God is a Spirit. And if you'll pray, you'll be able to see Him. But you'll never see Him otherwise. You'll never see God. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, I thank You tonight for the pure in heart. Oh, hallelujah. You said You'd purify hearts by faith, Jesus. And dear God, we ask in the name of Jesus that You purify hearts. Let the faith of Christ come into our lives and into our hearts, Father, and purify hearts. Heal our sick bodies. Dear God, keep us strong and well. Father, reach out with the mighty power of God. to heal, O God, to bring about a mighty deliverance. Father, to set free in the name of Jesus tonight. Grant your blessings and grant your power. Stand with us, Jesus, in every undertaking. Help us to evangelize the world with the great and mighty power of the living God. I ask you, Lord, to watch over my people. Keep them well and healthy, Father. Bless their little ones. Deliver their little ones from sickness. Oh, God, and smile upon them, Jesus. Lord, and let them have the blessings from heaven that they need for their bodies through this cold weather. Take care of them. And Lord, move the cold weather away. Bring the beautiful springtime. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll be with us tonight. God, and be with us every night when we come together here to bless our people. Help us, Lord, to do something for Thee. In Jesus' precious, lovely name, I ask it. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more chorus and I'll let you go. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me, healing me from all.